Well, we welcome all of you this morning. We want to let those who are arriving come in and get settled. But it is my great privilege to introduce to you a good friend of ours, Reverend Liliana Reza. Liliana works at Point Loma University in San Diego, California, where she's a campus pastor. And that has a lot of meaning and impact in it right there. She's also Associate Director of International Ministries. She is practicing what she believes and preaches. She directs, leads, hi, come on. She leads teams of students across the border to minister to many of the people you are hearing about in the news who are making their way into our country or trying to. And it is life-changing for her and for her students. And just when she tells me about it, I catch a little glimpse of what life is like there. She's really living cross-cultural ministry, so you have the great privilege of hearing from one who's doing what she believes in her heart. We had the privilege of working with her a little bit in Paraguay a few years ago, and just knowing her through the years, and I love her like she was one of my own.
I love you too.
And we love having her in our home. She's a great speaker. So welcome Reverend Liliana Reza this morning, and open your hearts to what she has to say about hospitality.
Thank you. All right, can we pray together? God, we are thankful for who you are. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being a God of open arms. And thank you for being a God who is alive, who doesn't give up on us, who is constantly molding and shaping and reshaping and constructing and deconstructing areas in our lives. And once again this morning, I say yes to you. Use me in ways that only you can use me. And may these words, Lord, be pleasing to you. Open our minds so that we may learn and be challenged to be more like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, it is a pleasure to be with you all this morning. If at any time you have a question about anything that Lori shared about, or if you have questions about the presentation, feel free to just kind of scribble it down, and then at the end we'll have some time of questions, or we can chat afterwards, whichever works for you. But I'm really happy to share this moment with you all today. It's a Saturday. I keep reminding myself it's Saturday. All right, so we're going to talk about hospitality. And the reason that I'm using the table as basically the center image for this conversation is because the table has been a very sacred space for myself growing up, and especially for my family. I grew up, I'm of Mexican heritage, so my parents are both Mexican, and I myself grew up in Oklahoma City. I was born and raised there. But in my home, the table during dinner time, as I'm sure it was in your home, was a very special place where we would come together and talk about our day, and we would talk about what was going on. And during that time, when I was growing up, there were no cell phones, so we didn't have problems at the table with cell phones. We just kind of shared about what was going on at school, if I had a volleyball game coming up, if my sister had something in band, you know, just kind of catching up and sharing life together with my parents. My parents were really hard workers. They still are really hard workers. And I remember that every evening we never had dinner at the same time because we would always wait for my father to come home. And as a construction worker, you can only imagine, depending if the weather was permitting, he would come home at different times. So, you know, if it was raining, maybe he went in a little bit later, so we would wait to have dinner later. But it didn't matter. We would wait. And the reason that we would wait was because my mother was teaching me, without even knowing, that the table was a sacred space. And at that time, my mom was teaching me something that she was taught, you know, that this was a sacred, special place where life happened and family happened and people were welcomed. And at that time when she was teaching me that, she herself wasn't even a believer. And then when we entered into the world of being believers and in Christianity, we learned that the Lord's table is also a sacred place where everyone is invited. And so this morning I want you to kind of dance around with me and just keep that imagery in mind. Okay? So Adele Calhoun says that hospitality is being a people who provide, or us as people of God. When we are hospitable, we become a people who provide God's welcoming and God's welcoming embrace. I love that image of God just embracing us, right? And saying, when we give hospitality, when we live in the posture of hospitality, we are telling people. It's kind of like what Albert and Christine were talking about. When we live into this posture of hospitality, we are telling people, you are valued, you're accepted, and we need you. And all of those things are important because we all want to be valued. We all want to belong. We all want to belong. Don't we all want to belong? We all want to belong a part of something. That's why we have teams. That's why we have, you know, like things that we cheer for and sides and all of these things. We want to belong to something. And this is a wonderful way to be able to, just remember that this is what God is about. God is about embracing people. So in John chapter 15, I'm sorry, in the epistle of 3 John, or how do you say it in English? Thank you. So 3 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, When we extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, or even those that are not Christian, yes, even if they are strangers, you and I make faith visible. And this is what we were talking about this morning, right? This kind of Christianity that's lived out. And Scripture reminds us of that all of the time. So when we think about the table, I want to challenge you to think about it as a tool, a place, a tool that can make faith visible to the people of your community. When you have maybe a cookout, when you have a party going outside in your house, what a great opportunity to invite your neighbors over. What a great opportunity to share a life together and just say, I want to get to know you. And one of the reasons that hospitality is so important to me is because I have learned throughout the many years of being both a missionary and now working cross-culturally in a border town in the border region of San Diego and Tijuana, hospitality is really key to crossing any kind of culture and really wanting to break down barriers like we were hearing about this morning. How can I enter into someone else's world? How can someone enter into my world? The table is a great place. Yeah. Everybody loves to eat. Everybody gets hungry. Everyone gets thirsty. So what a great way to be able to share in each other's cultures, to share in each other's lives, like we have, you know, when I was growing up, you know, sharing into the life of my brothers and sisters, being able to use the table as a place to be able to expand our worldview, expand ourselves, and be used by God in ways that we can never imagine. I want to tell you a story about a very special man. I know it's almost lunchtime, so bear with me here. So I want to tell you a story of a man. His name is Brother Jesse. Brother Jesse is a real man. He is no longer with us, but this is a true story. Brother Jesse made some of the most delicious sandwiches. I actually don't know all of the ingredients that were in these sandwiches, but from what I hear, they were the best on the street. Everyone knew that when Brother Jesse was making sandwiches, you had to be there. It was not just about the sandwiches that Brother Jesse was providing, but it was about the environment. It was about the embrace in his home, in his yard, that he was setting up for people. Everyone knew that you didn't have to even have an invitation to come to the time and Brother Jesse's house when he was making sandwiches. People would spread the word and be like, he's making sandwiches. Are you coming? Are you coming? And so people would come left and right to Brother Jesse's house. During that time, my parents had just arrived to the United States, and word got to my mom that there was this man on the street that was making sandwiches. And my mom thought to herself, well, we're short a little. At that time, it was just my mom and my older sister. And my mom was just like, it's just us. Why don't we go? I'm not sure if this is true. You know, I don't understand all of what the people are telling me. I don't speak English very well. But they say it's true, so why not just try? So my mom makes her way down there to Brother Jesse's house, and it's true. There's an abundance of sandwiches. There's an abundance of people, and there's enough chairs. There is a place for everyone. Brother Jesse approaches my mom. My mom, in her broken English, attempts to have a conversation. And my mom, to this day, remembers that she, had sort of some sort of conversation with Brother Jesse about Jesus. And she knew the name Jesus because it sounds very similar in Spanish and English, as you might know yourself. And she's like, he keeps talking about this man. But it didn't click for me at that time. It just didn't click for me. When I heard the story about Brother Jesse, my mom and I were actually sharing a meal. We were eating soup together at a cafe. And my mom was telling me about her journey to the States. And she was telling me about how God's grace had been providing for her in different ways. And one of them was in the way of a sandwich. She's like, I just needed something to eat. That's all I needed. I needed something to eat. I needed a place to feel at home. And Brother Jesse was there. She, again, did not commit to Christ that day, did not, you know, make the connection that God was providing for her until many, many, many years later. But looking back, what I'm trying to say this morning is that when we extend ourselves and go beyond the barriers that are around us, we can be extensions of God's grace into people's lives. And that's what hospitality is all about. It's about being an extension of who God is. And so whether it's, you know, giving water, whether it's inviting someone that you wouldn't regularly invite to church, or just saying hi, recognizing, acknowledging someone that you wouldn't necessarily acknowledge every single day. Hospitality is a posture and it's a lifestyle, and we have been called to this type of lifestyle. So, make yourself a sandwich and invite someone to join you. I want to read to you one of my favorite passages. So if you have your Bible, you can bring it out, or you can just scribble it on there. I'll tell you where it comes from. It's Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 23. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guest, "Come, come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and I need to inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." And then another said, "The servant returned home and told his master what they all had said. And he ran back and he said to his master that they couldn't come. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "But master, there is still room for more. What should I do?" So the master said, "Go out into the country lanes, to the margins, behind the hedges, and urge anyone to come. Anyone you find, tell them to come so that the house will be full." So I guess my question to you all this morning is, as you think about this image of the table and of hospitality, how far far do you go to invite people to your table? That's the question. How far do you go to invite people into your space, into your life, into your church? How far do you extend yourself? Do you go into the streets and the hedges and the margins, as the scripture was telling us? Do you make every single effort possible to get out into the margins where no one else is going, to make sure that everyone is invited inside, to make sure that everyone comes into the house of the Lord and that the house may be full? Do you? Do I? Do we? Do we do everything possible to do that? Do we do everything possible so that we make sure that everyone, those that feel both visible and invisible, are invited to God's table, to the Lord's table? What do we do? What is our posture as we're living our day-to-day lives? Hospitality is not just welcoming people at the door on Sunday morning. Hospitality, once again, I will say, is a lifestyle and a posture. When we are hospitable to other people, and it is an evidence of Christ in our lives, it shows who lives in us. We have to be, we need to be a people of hospitality, especially to those that are unlike us, that don't sound like us, that don't look like us. I want to share this really quick video. It's just a couple of minutes. And just listen in as we think about the table and as we think about hospitality together. And then after that, we'll have a little bit of time of discussion. Is this it?
Christmas, on any holiday, the doorbell would just ring and people would come in. And, you know, sometimes we wanted to say, who are you? And why are you coming to our house for dinner? There was always somebody at our house that my mother did first.
I trust or not? Is the granny really sick or not? And you give them money and then they come back and you learn that it wasn't a hoax. It is better to be taken than to live with a spirit of doubt. I want to be free, and I will be free to believe.
We were learning out of our ignorance that hospitality comes often with silence. Hospitality comes when you don't know what to offer, when you actually think you have nothing to offer.
This was the plate that my nonna, grandmother, Italian, would always, when I came to visit, she had one for every one of her grandchildren that were equally beat up and choked and whatever. She would make you a fried egg or a scrambled egg in this little dish, and it was for you, because you were special. And she and my nonno did not have much at all, very humble people, but they knew how to make people feel special when they walked in this tiny little house that didn't look special from the outside.
We were only maybe just a couple minutes into the conversation. He said, so are you all set? And I said, set? Do you have a place to sleep? I said, yeah, I do have a place to sleep. And this went on this way for probably the better part of an hour of him giving me the finest possible hospitality of how to live on the street in Chicago. And first of all, it was a gift to be not only seen as needy, but then served by all that he had to give, which in his case was really information.
Bringing students into our home, having a very open home, was their way of not just giving, but also creating connection and belonging and a sense of a larger community and family for us. It reminds me of how hospitality isn't a gift just for the visitor, but it's also the gift for the host.
I'll click it from over here. No, that's not what I want. Henry Nouwen said, if there is any concept worth restoring to its original depth and evocative potential, it is the concept of hospitality. It is one of the richest biblical terms that can deepen and broaden our insight in our relationship to our fellow humans. I do believe that hospitality reminds us that we have all been created in God's image and that we have all been created by God. We all bear traces of God. We all are people. And we as people deserve and need a place. Just a place. And so what I want to do is kind of share some, it's actually seven common threads that churches that have hospitality typically have. So they're just traces of if a church is hospitable, then it would have one of the, hopefully all seven of these traces, right? But these seven traces, okay? So seven common threads in radical hospitality for churches. The first one is a church that is radically hospitable is a church that models it beginning with the leadership, beginning with the people on top, beginning with the senior pastor, the associate pastor, the SDMI president, NMI, NYI president. These people are living missionally. These people are walking and talking and doing what they're preaching from the pulpit. They're not the people that are saying, well, I need you to go do it, and then sit back and say, well, you're not doing it right. No, they are the people on the trenches doing it with you, learning it with you, and saying, we got it wrong, or maybe we should try it this way. So that means that, you know, if your pastor might not be there, or your leaders might not be there, it's a great place to start praying and saying, God, will you give us a vision and a heart to be a church that is hospitable to all people? The second one is a radical hospitable church is a church that is constantly building bridges. And what I mean by that is that it's a church that intentionally like seeks out ways to say, how can we do hospitality better? Okay, our church is not strong in, or there's no way that my church can be equipped to have a food pantry, but I know that the United Methodist Church two blocks down has an awesome like food pantry. So why don't I go talk to their food pantry manager, ask them what resources they have, and then come to my church and say, hey church, you know, United Methodist two blocks down has an awesome food pantry, and they said that we could put out their brochures out here and we could, you know, referral people to them. That's a way to build bridges. Or, for example, your church might be like really wanting to have a place at the table for orphans or widows or people that are cancer survivors or anything like that, but perhaps your church does not have the capacity to be able to celebrate recovery or perhaps have support groups or things like that. But you know that the three, four streets down or 5 miles down, there's a Church of the Nazarene that has Celebrate Recovery, or that there's someone else that has that resource, you begin to build their bridges. Does that make sense? You don't want people to enter into your space or come to your table or be at your table and for you to, and for them to ask you how can I find this, and for you not to be ready. I want to be a church. I want to be a part of a church that's ready to say, yes, I know where to point you. Yes, I know how to help you. Yes, I know. No, we do not have that here, but our brothers and sisters in Christ over here do, and they're doing it excellently. So building bridges means a lot of hands-on work. It means that maybe two people from your church will be the point person for A, B, C, D, and E. Or maybe, get creative. I'm just kind of talking out loud here, but I want you to be able to understand what these common threads are. The third one is that a radically hospitable church invites all of its people, everyone in the congregation, all of the lay people are constantly invited to serve and to participate in leadership. It's not, okay, oh, you will wait a little bit more because, X, Y, Z. No, everyone is invited. Rough edges, smooth edges, because that's how we learn together. Does that make sense? I need Lori and Ted in my life. And they're we're not the same age. I hope you see that they're much younger and more hip and awesome. But I need Lori and Ted in my life because they teach me things that I still don't know. And they are like my spiritual parents. They pray for me in ways that my actual parents, don't know how to pray for me for, because my parents are younger in their spiritual walk. So we need people that are both with smooth edges and rough edges and years of experience and not so many years of experience around us to make us more like Christ, to mold us and shape us to be more into this posture of hospitality that Christ is asking of us. When we do that, we tell people, you don't have to have it all together. You're welcomed. That's God's welcoming embrace. This is my favorite one because I love to eat, as you saw the pictures of the food. So a radically hospitable church and congregation eats together. Yes, we're talking potlucks. That if your church is doing that, you're doing it well. But make sure you make every effort to, whether or not they brought something, that they know they're welcome to stay. That they know they're welcome to stay. It's okay that you didn't bring anything today, but I still want you to sit down and talk to me. It's okay that you don't have the $2 donation today. Don't worry. We got it. We want you to stay. That insistent extending and that insistent invitation reminds people that they're valued. It reminds them that they have worth. So share food.
Tomorrow our church is going to have a potluck. And like most Nazarene churches, we think we're the friendliest church in the world. And we do good potluck. But as you're talking this morning, I think, but what's going to happen tomorrow is everybody's going to go sit at the same table, the same people they sit with every time we have a potluck. Mm-hmm. And so we don't fully embrace that opportunity to make other people feel significant. I just thought that's exactly what's going to happen. Unless we say so.
Yeah. And it is a great moment, a wonderful moment to break barriers, to intentionally say, I'm going to go sit with someone whose face I have not seen in a long time and say hello, because I want to be intentional, because Christ has been intentional towards me, and because we are a people that are called to hospitality and love. This week, I was with my family for an unexpected reason, and I got to see cousins that I hadn't seen in many, many years. One of my cousins came up to me as I was leaving to catch the airplane, and she says to me, "We didn't even catch up." And I said, "Cindy, I see you at least 3 times a year. But I don't see Anna ever. She never comes to our family reunions. I needed to see her. I needed her to see that I see her and I hear her pain." And so it's those kind of intentionalities, of saying, I want to sit with you. I want to eat with you. I don't know what we might talk about, but that's okay. You can always start with the weather. Everybody knows something about the weather. So number 5, another trace or common thread, is that leadership, and not just the leadership, but the congregation keeps this vision alive. If we're preaching it, we're teaching it, we're doing it in the Sunday school room, we're practicing it from the pulpit. I'm talking theologically, I'm talking missionally, I'm talking visions of the church. We're saying, okay, how can we better do this? How can we as a church come together? How can our NYI be more hospitable? How can our missions council be more hospitable? So we're gardening the vision in all of the ministries, not just the hospitality or ushers ministry, but everyone is gardening the vision so that we can be a collective people that has hospitality. Number six. Okay, tell me how to say this in English.
Ecumenically.
Thank you. Ecumenically minded. So basically what we're saying here is that we recognize that we need each other. This one goes back to the building of the bridges. We're saying we are a big C church. Yes, we need each other. We're not just going to say, I love the Nazarene tribe. This is my people. These are my people. But when we're not doing something well, for example, I know that the Salvation Army Church is doing a lot of things really well. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have awesome programs that the Church of the Nazarene has not, you know, perhaps developed as well. I know that Catholic Charities is doing wonderful things for people in the community that perhaps the Church of the Nazarene is not doing. So we're keeping our mind open and we're continually building bridges. And again, these are things that we garden with time. We don't push, we garden. You know, you tend to the soil, you prepare it, you pray for it, and all that good jazz. And number seven is the most important for me, which goes back to the rough edges and the smooth edges. We cultivate a space of grace. We cultivate a space of grace. And what this means is that when people are not getting it, when people are just like, I don't know what hospitality is, and I just, that's not my thing, I'm going to let someone else do it. Invite them in with all their rough edges and help them see that they're already practicing hospitality and they don't even know it. Sometimes we're doing things in our lives that demonstrate hospitality and we're not aware. And that's wonderful. But we also need, again, to cultivate. So what we're going to do for the last couple of minutes is that we're going to have some breakout questions. And these are both, I want you to think about it. We're going to break out into, find some friends around you and kind of ask yourself these two questions. The first one is, picture yourself without a place. Okay? Picture yourself without a place of belonging. It can be you don't have a family. You don't, insert whatever. Picture yourself without a place. What feelings does this image stir in you? What happens when you realize, I don't have a place? That could be a question you can talk about. And the other one is, who are people in our society who are invisible? Who are some people around us that we know are invisible? And I just want you to talk about it and talk about how does that connect with hospitality. And so I'll give you guys like 5-7-ish minutes. I think that's good. When I hear some chatter, you guys can talk about this and can also talk about things that we've already spoken about. So you can find a couple of friends, make new friends. What a great way to practice hospitality, make new friends. And yeah, go ahead, break out. All right, what we're going to do is that we're going to share a couple of our responses just because I want to hear from you all and kind of know what you have been chatting about. So the first question is, picture yourself without a place. What feelings does this image stir? Does anyone want to share maybe something that your group talked about or perhaps something that it stirred in you?
No, go ahead. No, you're good.
You know what? We're going to give this little gentleman right here. Go ahead.
It makes me feel nervous, like you don't know what to do because you don't know anybody.
That's true. That's very true. Thank you for sharing. All right.
Isolated.
Yeah, you're right. It's a real feeling. Anyone else? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know there are some other missionary wives here in this room, but I remember when my husband and I and our family were missionaries on a little island. Everybody spoke a different language, and it was hard, you know, wanting relationships and wanting to really know people and get deep with people. Mm-hmm. It's like,
talking to myself all the time. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. But anyway, it's just that feeling of longing and desiring to be a part of something. So it was a good time of learning, though, too, because it told me, it showed me to draw closer to the Lord during that time. But it is a hard thing.
It's right. It does make us nervous, and it's very hard. What else do you want to share?
I feel that when you are somewhere without a place, you don't feel valued and that you don't matter. I was, when we were talking, I said, even people that are in our church sometimes, like, they're going through something in their life, and they'll share with me, and I'll say, did you tell the pastor? Have you told anybody? No, because it's not a big deal. And I'm like, yeah, it is a big deal. You know, but I don't know why we feel that, even for ourselves, how many times we feel that what we're going through is not a big deal. And that even when we are in a place where people do want to do something, we feel like, we're not valued enough. I don't think we even look at ourselves as being valued enough for prayer or for help or for those struggles.
Yeah. Anyone else want to share? All right, we'll go to the next question. The next question is, who are the people in our society who are invisible?
I think sometimes we don't notice the people that are right there in front of our face. Many places that we go, and we just drive on by or walk on by, you know. Now, of course, when we pull up to a stoplight and there's somebody there, you know, you read that sign, but do we do anything for it?
Yeah.
Even they probably feel totally invisible, especially when 100 cars keep going and nobody, you know. I did this, not for who I was with just the other day, but I said, I don't like to give money because you're not aware that money's going. I said, man, I wish I had a sandwich. You know, just a hand to the young girl that was standing there, and I had nothing.
Yeah, I heard a pastor, my computer keeps going to sleep, it's ready for sleep. I had a pastor friend who told me that herself and her husband would carry these $5 McDonald's gift cards, and that's what they would give when they would come to a stoplight or something at the at the bridges or wherever you would see people, just to be able to have a moment, because sometimes all people are longing for is physical touch. All people are longing for is for someone to look at them in the eye and say, I see you, I hear you, you are real. You know, and just be there with someone. And so all of these types, those very practical ways, something that we can do and say, okay, and you could even pray, you know, Lord, I only have 4 of these gift cards, so could you please lead me? Holy Spirit, lead me to know who it is that really does need, help me discern when I need to just acknowledge with my eyes or say hello. And when do I actually need to pull that out and give it to someone? Anyone else want to share? We'll give someone else the opportunity, and then anyone else?
I was going to add to what you said about the potluck, is that one of the things that I've been impressed upon is if I find someone marginal in our church, like a widow, or someone like that who feels might feel awkward, I say to them ahead of time, would you be my guest this Sunday and sit with me at potluck? I invite, even though it's invited to everyone, I make the invitation personal for me. And I've seen people come to potluck that wouldn't normally come because of that.
That's wonderful. Anyone else? Some other people that in our society? I think about a family that I worked for when I was in college. My boss, I was a nanny while I was in college, and my boss had 2 children who were severely physically handicapped. And one of them was completely fine, just like she could walk and do everything, but had no kind of speech, just a delay, like a mental delay. And the other one was completely the opposite. Everything, all of her delays were physical. And so I think sometimes it's easy for us to think about the invisible and think about these physical things that we can see. They're hungry, they're tired, they're poor, they're et cetera, insert whatever. But there's so many other people around us that are invisible, that have a lot of other needs. Think about the veterans that are going through PTSD, that are feeling lonely and tired. Think about I mean, just left and right, people that are grieving, you know, people that are feeling rejected or isolated because of, insert anything, autism, just so many mental illnesses that we know of and that we don't know of. So people or even family members themselves can feel isolated. I can't go to my friend's house because my child or my spouse or insert whatever. So hospitality almost pushes us in a very loving way into these spaces where glimpses of hope are needed, where love needs to be extended. Anyone else want to share? We're going to go. We have more questions. We have one more slide. We ready? Yes? Okay. So this question is, do you see the Eucharist or the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper as a significant expression of hospitality? How is the hospitality we receive at God's table connected to the hospitality that we offer? So do you guys, that is a big question. So maybe we'll focus on the second one. How is the hospitality that we receive at God's table connected to the hospitality that we offer? Does that make sense? So how does that help us connect? What we receive from God, how can we, how does that help us offer to others? Is that too much? Is that too heavy for this morning? We need some coffee? I'll come over. So talk about it in your groups, and then we'll chat about it. All right, let's gather back, and let's share some of our responses. Does anyone want to share? Yes.
I grew up in the Catholic home, and the Catholics believe that the actual is the actual body and blood of Christ, and a lot of other churches believe that it's just a symbol. And so I was talking to somebody that was Catholic one day, and they told me that if I was not a Catholic, that I could not partake in the body and blood of Christ unless you believe that it is the actual body and blood of Christ. So now that I go to a Nazarene church with my husband, because he's a Nazarene, and it's inviting, and everyone is invited to come up and partake in the Eucharist. But if when I go to my parents' church, they are still very much Catholic, we do not partake in it. Mm-hmm. You've been told that you're not allowed to.
You can actually still get in line, and you just have to cross your arms like this, and then you'll still receive a blessing, but you actually cannot partake in it. But feel free to walk up. You'll just make sure you cross your arms. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Anyone else? Mm-hmm. You can share if you want to share. Yeah.
Hospitality at the Lord's table, we usually then take that as an inspiration to then share that hospitality with others. That's one way it's connected, is one causes the other.
Yes, very good. So one causes the other. It's like a sort of inspiration, he's saying. So a lot of wisdom over here in this corner. So I think that it's important for us to just remember that I love it when pastors say, you know, all are welcome at the table. What a powerful language and imagery. All are welcome. There's a space set for you. That's what that's saying. You don't have to set it up yourself. Christ has set it for you. There's a space. You are welcome to the table. Come as you are. Think about that language that you hear when you're when it's that communion Sunday, you know, come as you are. You don't have to have it all together, and that's what hospitality is all about. Telling people you don't have to come have it all together. Come as you are, and sit with me. Come as you are, and let me journey through life with you. Come as you are, and let's figure things out together. Let's journey together. Rough edges, smooth edges. Let God's Spirit do the work in and through us as we become a people of hospitality that demonstrates to the world and makes God's love visible to the rest of the world. That's what hospitality is all about. Any questions? We have 5 minutes left, so I wanted to just kind of open up for any questions that anyone might have. I hope that this time has been helpful for you. Yes.
Okay, question.
Yes.
So at the very first, you said make everyone, let them be serving and leading. That's the same thing.
So we have a church in the city, very rough-edged people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think it's almost like a motorcycle church, but they're not really motorcycle. Anyway, so then you get the language. So we're down in the fellowship hall, and you got these moms and dads down there hanging out with their kids, and the cursing starts coming out, and they're yelling at their kids. I'm going, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do this, but this is the biggest issue I'm dealing with right mm-hmm. now. Any solutions?
I don't have any solutions that come to mind, but that actually points to the number seven, the cultivating a space of grace, where like they don't have it all together, but and I'm not saying that you have it perfectly put together, but when you come together, you can the smooth and the rough can sharpen each other out, and we can work things out, and with a lot of grace and with a lot of love, you can say, you know, it might not be a good idea to speak to your child in this way, or you know, please don't use that.
That's what we're doing right now.
Of course, and that's sort of, exactly. Yeah, so hospitality is about a lot of patience.
Here, you know, then the whole thing's like, just like, well, we're never going to get the sophisticated people because this is what we've got right now.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's gonna scare all of them off.
And that's probably a mentality that we need to deconstruct a little bit. Is like, whatever the Lord is, and however the Lord is moving in the church, you just got to embrace it, you know. And so, really, just saying, God, you know, these are your people. Let God do the work in them, but also like journey with them and just kind of be that coach. You're doing so great. Oh, you kind of missed a step. That's okay. And then that gives also them permission to call you out as well. I think that's something that we don't practice enough is calling each other out, keeping each other accountable. But again, that hopefully that's in some sort of way helpful to you. Don't have actual response to that. But anyone else have any questions? Yes.
What inspired you to do this topic?
That's a wonderful question. So, actually, the reason that I chose this topic is because I myself have struggled with hospitality. I'm 32 years old. I am single. I have been a single missionary for the Church of the Nazarene for a while. And a lot of my job required for me to like go to different places and travel to different spaces, both preaching, teaching, and doing different things. I didn't always feel welcomed. I didn't always get an invitation after lunch. I didn't always insert whatever. And kind of like she had shared, there were times where you just were longing for someone to be or extend an invitation of any sort into your life. And then I moved back to the States, and I saw that even when I did speak the same language, there was still no hospitality. And I'm like, God, what is going on? I thought it was the language. I thought it was the culture kind of barriers. And now I'm back and I speak the language and I'm here. And right now I just moved to a new city. And I'm still trying to find my space, to be honest with you. I'm being very vulnerable right now. I'm still trying to find my space in a new city. I've only been there for 6 months. And there have been 3 times that only 3 people, I've been in a church for, 6 months, and I've only gotten 3 invitations to have lunch with someone. So there's still a lot that needs to happen. There's still a lot that needs to happen in myself and in others around me. And so I think that we have space for growth, and I wanted to talk about that because as a people of God, we should be extending invitations left and right because there's abundance that comes with being a people of God, and we should be sharing in that abundance. Anyone else have any questions? Thank you for that.
I just want to say I appreciate you sharing on this topic. I know hospitality is one of the gifts, you know, that the Holy Spirit does give us. Mm-hmm. Not that the others shouldn't express that, but, you know, he doesn't, so we don't hear a lot about that. And I think sometimes, I don't know, this is my opinion, sometimes the Lord puts us in situations where it is uncomfortable for us, and we wish, you know, I wish somebody else would be teaching about it. I know I'm kind of similar to you, it's not hospitality for me, but if there's another issue, like how to be a godly wife, that's what I wish I would hear more about. Mm. So the Lord's been laying it on my heart to start mm-hmm. studying that and trying in his grace and help to become that and help other people. So I appreciate you taking that step, even though you're not seeing that in your own life happen. God's going to bless you, and he's helping the kingdom grow through that. So mm-hmm. we appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for the space. Anyone else?
How does that make you feel that you don't receive that invitation from the only church?
Yeah, it makes me feel, I think you guys pointed it out really well. It makes me feel alone and nervous, frustrated sometimes, you know, like I want to be invited. Everybody, I started with that sentence. Everyone wants a place to belong. Everyone wants someone to share a meal with, to laugh with, to insert whatever. And so I think that it's those kinds of, you know, to feel valued. I think we're all longing to feel valued. And as a people in, of God, we should be telling people, yes, you're valued. Yes, you are needed. Yes, you are insert whatever. So I'm going to, yes.
How does that feeling motivate you to be more hospitable than even within your own church?
Yeah, I'm doing all sorts of stuff because I'm longing for hospitality. So not just through my work, but I'm volunteering in different ways. And again, inviting other people that I typically would overlook into my life because I'm like, I don't want them to feel how I'm feeling. So
and, you really are being a great example within the walls of the church.
I hope that I am. I really hope that I am. But thank you so much for this time together. It's 12:15. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And so we are good to go.
To lunch.
Thank you. To lunch. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.